Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Brahma. Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Shravani Tanam. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaurvani Pachari. Vibhishesha Shunyavadi Charcha Vishatam. So today we are blessed with the most auspicious opportunity. At a thousand millions and billions and trillions and quadrillions of lifetimes, now we are coming in contact with the Srimad Bhagavatam to liberate us from our entanglement in the cycle of birth and death. Today we are reading from the fourth canto, chapter 18, Pitu Maharaj milks the earth planet, text number 19.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Vatsam
Kapilam
Kapilam
Siddha
Siddha
Sankalpana
Sankalpana
Mayim
Mayim
Siddhim
Siddhim
Navasi
Navasi
Vidyam
Vidyam
Cha
Cha
Ye
Ye
Cha
Cha
Vidyadra
Vidyadra
Adya
Adya
Prakalpya Vatsam Kapilam
Prakalpya Vatsam
Siddhasankalpanamayam
Siddhasankalpanamayam
Namasi Vidyamcha
Namasi Vidyamcha
Echa Vidyadharadaya
Echa Vidyadharadaya
Prakalpya Vatsam Kapilam
Prakalpya Vatsam Kapilam
Siddhasankalpanamayam
Siddhasankalpanamayam
Namasi Vidyamcha
Namasi Vidyamcha
Vidyadharadaya
Echa Vidyadharadaya
Prakalpyavatsam Kapilam
Prakalpyavatsam Kapilam
Siddhasankalpanamayam
Siddhasankalpanamayam
Siddhim Navasi Vidyamcha
Siddhim Navasi Vidyamcha
Echa Vidyadharadaya
Echa Vidyadharadaya
Prakalpya
Prakalpya
Vatsam,
Vatsam,
calf,
Kapilam,
Kapilam, the great sage Kapila,
the great sage Kapila,
Siddha,
Siddha,
the inhabitants of Siddhaloka,
the inhabitants of Siddhaloka,
Sankalpanamayam,
Sankalpanamayam,
proceeding from will,
proceeding from will,
Siddhim,
Siddhim,
yogic perfection,
yogic perfection,
Navasi,
Navasi,
in the sky,
in the sky,
Vidyam,
Vidyam,
knowledge,
knowledge,
Cha,
Cha,
also,
also,
Ye,
Ye,
those who,
those who,
Cha,
Cha,
also,
also,
Vidyadara,
Vidyadara,
Adya,
Adya,
the inhabitants of Vidyadhara Loka, and so on.
The inhabitants of Vidyadhara Loka, and so on.
Translation and purport. By his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. After this, the inhabitants of Siddhaloka, as well as the inhabitants of Vidyadharaloka, transform the grapes Kapila into a calf, and making the whole sky into a pot, they melt out specific yogic mystic powers, beginning with anima. Indeed, the inhabitants of Vidyadhara Loka acquired the art of flying in the sky. Purport. The inhabitants of both Siddhaloka
and Vidyadhara Loka are naturally endowed with mystic yogic powers by which they can not only fly in outer space without a vehicle, but also can fly from one planet to another simply by exerting their will. Just as fish can swim within water, the residents of Vidyadhara Loka can swim in the ocean of air. As far as the inhabitants of Siddhaloka are concerned, they are endowed with all mystic powers. The yogis in this planet practice the eightfold yogic mysticism, namely yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, jhana, and samadhi. By regularly practicing the yogic processes, one after another, the yogis attain various perfections. They can become smaller than the smallest, heavier than the heaviest, etc. They can even manufacture a planet, get whatever they like, and control whatever man they want. All the residents of Siddhaloka are naturally endowed with these mystic yogic powers. It is certainly a very wonderful thing if we see a person on this planet flying in the sky without a vehicle, but in Vidyadhara Loka, such flying is a commonplace as a bird's flying in the sky. Similarly, in Siddhaloka, all the inhabitants are great yogis, perfect in mystic powers. The name of Kapila Muni is significant in this verse because he was the expounder of the Sankhya philosophical system, and his father Kardama Muni was a great yogi and mystic. Indeed, Kardama Muni prepared a great vehicle, a great airplane, which was as large as a small town and had various gardens, palatial buildings, servants, and maidservants. With all this paraphernalia, Kapila Dev's mother Devahuti and his father Kardama Muni traveled all over the universes and visited various planets.
And we see the people windsurfing, it seems pretty impressive, but that's nothing compared to these people. They can just take off in the sky without an airplane, without a wind sail, anything. Just take off in the sky. Pretty amazing.
But it's nothing compared to going back to Godhead. So we shouldn't be envious and think, yeah, I really want to fly in the sky. I want to go to Siddhaloka and fly in the sky on an airplane. Another point that jumps is sometimes we go to the airport, we see these double deckers, you know, Qantas double deckers, and we go, oh wow, look at that big, huge airplane with two decks. They had even beds up in the business class section. Wow, pretty amazing thing. But that's nothing compared to this airplane. In a whole town in the airplane, if you could imagine. Palatial buildings, gardens. Can you imagine gardens on an airplane? And palatial buildings, parks on an airplane. But still, that's nothing compared to going back to Godhead. So we should really, you know, be really serious to go back to Krishna. It's wonderful beyond even our wildest imaginations how wonderful it is to go back to Godhead. We should really be focused, you know. We have a tendency to get diverted by this thing and that thing. Sense gratification, right? Our minds like monkeys, jumping from branch to branch to branch to branch to branch. We gotta come back to Krishna. That's the whole point. Yato yata nishchalati manas cham salamastaram tatastato nayamyatat atyamigavishamyaya. From whatever and wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. I can tell you right now, Prabhu Zamanaji, if you don't do this, you're just cheating yourself, really. If we don't do this, we're cheating ourselves. If we don't bring that rascal mind under control, we let it go wild. We're just torturing ourselves, really. Would you like to torture yourself? But that's what we're doing. And we don't want to let our minds run wild. We're just torturing ourselves. See, we nearby devotees, we go through a lot of anxieties, isn't it? It's because we haven't brought our minds under control. That's the difficulty. We haven't brought our minds under control. So we have to learn that art. And it really boils down to what's called chanting offenselessly. That's the art of bringing the mind under control. You see, when you can get that taste for Krishna's name, when you can actually connect with Krishna, do you realize that when you actually connect with the name of Krishna, you're directly associating with Krishna's form also, and his abode also, his pastimes also, his associates also. It's all there within Krishna. You don't have to wait to go back to Godhead, actually, because Godhead is right there in those two syllables. If you can actually fully absorb yourself in these syllables, Krishna, you'll already be in the spiritual world. Prabhupada explains like that in the Krishna book. You read that lately, the Krishna book? This is amazing stuff. Amazing stuff. So how do we avoid the offenses? What's the first offense? Be critical of Vaishnavas. This is a big one in ISKCON. Yeah, that devotee, yeah. I'd even be open our ears to hear criticisms. You see. Someone says, yeah, that devotee is no good, or that guru is no good, or whatever, you know. These criticisms. This is deadly stuff. As soon as we speak or absorb ourselves in hearing criticisms against Vaishnavas or gurus, we lose the ability to fix our minds on Krishna. We lose the ability to actually relish the bliss of Krishna consciousness. So that's why the first offense, and it's very, very important we avoid it, not to be blasphemous or even hear the blasphemies of devotees. And then the list goes on, of course. Consider the names of the Lord to be like the names of the same as the demigods' names. We should know these offenses and avoid them very carefully. Because by doing that, we can actually enter into the sweet realm of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is unbelievably ecstatic. And when we actually absorb ourselves in Krishna consciousness, then we're fully absorbed in thinking of the welfare of all the living entities who are caught up right now in the cycle of birth and death. You see? When we're actually Krishna conscious, we become oceans of compassion for the suffering living entities caught up in the cycle of birth and death. And Bhagavad explains in this connection, a Krishna conscious being is always thinking and planning how to deliver the entire suffering humanity back to home, back to Godhead. Is that what we think about when we get up in the morning when we're brushing our teeth? We have to be a little embarrassed, don't we? Wow, that's what it really means to be Krishna conscious. To be constantly absorbing, meditating, delivering all the souls of this material existence back to Krishna. That is the symptom, one who is actually situated in Krishna consciousness well. That's when somebody asks me, how are you doing? I say, well, I'm not there yet. I'm working on it. I just honestly tell them I'm not there yet. And even Papa told me, he said, now you disqualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. Ooh, that's a big one. So they say, how are you doing? He said, well, I'm working on it. I'm making some progress, a little progress. But that's actually the standard. For being really Krishna conscious, you're totally absorbed in the mood of unlimited compassion on even the mosquitoes, if you can imagine. You feel compassion even for the mosquitoes. You're fully absorbed in compassion for every single living entity who's caught up in this material existence, and you're able to directly perceive Krishna and his pastimes within your heart right now. So that's what we can achieve. You see, that's the kind of, not becoming a devotee doesn't mean getting some position, this kind of being recognized in this kind. That's not very important. Yeah, I can finally become a GBC or a guru or a Pujari, or you know, they can recognize me for my Sankirtan exploits. That's okay. But that's not the goal, you see. The real goal is to awaken pure love of God within the heart. And that's what we should be greedy for, eager for. Whether you're a householder living outside, or brahmachari living in the temple, or brahmacharini, whatever your position is, if you want to know what you really should be doing, you should be very, very intense with greed to awaken pure love of God within your heart right now. Not next week or next year, you know, the New Year's resolution for 2019. No, right here, right now. Why? Because death can come at any minute. There was I just read in Indonesia, there was a surprise tsunami that hit. And thousands of people were killed instantly. It was out of nowhere. It was not expected at all. There was even a rock concert going on, and the tsunami completely swept away the rock concert and killed the lead singer's wife instantly. So you never know what can happen. Especially driving in the car, you know. It's always dangerous getting in a car on the freeway. You never know if death can be that close. So we have to always be very, very keen that I have to be in this mood, begging Krishna, begging Krishna, begging Krishna for pure devotional service. If we have that mood of always begging, 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 begging Krishna, please, my dear Lord, bless me, that I can have that awakening of pure love within my heart for you and for your devotees. Please help me, my Lord. I'm so fallen. I'm so degraded. Even Prabhupada prayed like this to his spiritual master. He said, please save me, a fallen, your divine grace. Can you imagine? If we pray like that, to please save me, a fallen, we should be. We should all feel I'm a most fallen soul. I'm just begging my spiritual master. I'm begging Srila Prabhupada. I'm begging the Acharyas. I'm begging Lord Chaitanya. I'm begging Radharani. I'm begging Krishna. Please save this fallen soul who's so lost in this cycle of birth and death, please save me. This is Srila Mood. Keep that mood always burning in your heart. You may say, well, that sounds so discouraging. You know, I'd be really depressed if I thought I was fallen. It doesn't work. I guarantee you, it doesn't work that way. The more you don't think you're fallen, that's your misery. I'll tell you right now. The more you think you're very advanced, that's your anxiety. And the more you can feel you're fallen and fully dependent on the mercy of Guru and Krishna to save you, that's when you can actually begin to taste the nectar of the name. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. See? Why did Lord Chaitanya say? Once you think oneself lower than the straw in the street, being ready to offer all respect to others without expecting even the slightest bit of respect for oneself. In such a state of mind, you can go deep, deep, deep into Namaruchi. Deep, deep, deep into Namaruchi. So why don't we learn to do that, y'all? As we say in Texas. Why don't we learn to do that? Why don't we learn to become humble, really humble? What's holding us back? Nothing, except our stupidity. Really. Nothing holding you back from becoming a pure devotee right now. The only thing that's holding us back is our stupidity, which is too damn stupid to understand what I really need to do with my mind, where I really need to put it. You see? But if we carefully read these books of Srila Prabhupada, with a humble mood of trying to learn what is my defect, how can I correct myself, you see, if we study very humbly and sincerely these books, then Krishna and Prabhupada will speak to us. You see. They will enlighten us. They will inspire us. They will give us transcendental realizations of actually what I need to do to realize Krishna right now. You understand these points? You see? Not just some, yeah, I'll sit in the class, okay, it's my duty to sit in the class. And yes, 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 yes. How do you go? Go home, take the shower. Now this Bhagavatam is Krishna himself. You understand? Bhagavatam is Krishna himself appearing right here, right now. We have to learn how to deeply, deeply take this Bhagavatam into our hearts. By doing so, we'll be right there with Krishna in the spiritual world. That's how powerful it is. So, if there's any questions, I can try to answer them. Anybody have any questions? Here's a question. I'm a little deaf, so I'll turn up my hearing aid and see if I can make it out.
How to control mind? Is better to beat mind or better to stick with the
compromise what?
How to control the mind.
Oh, how to control the mind. Okay.
Whether to beat it or
speak like the friend.
Speak like a friend or beat it.
Oh, okay. That's a very nice question. Thank you. How to control the mind, should you... which method should you take? The method of the Bhakti Siddhanta prescribes. In the morning you beat the mind with shoes 100 times. In the evening with the broomstick 100 times. That's one approach. There's also the approach of Govinda Das. Bhajahu Reimana Srinandanandana Abhayacharanada Vindale. My dear mind, please engage yourself in the devotional service of the Divine Son of Nanda Maharaj. Which approach should I take? The stick or my dear mind? Oh, whatever works. Just like a parent raising a kid. You know, you do whatever works, right? Keep the kid controlled. Whatever works. If the my dear mind works for you, then go with it. If it doesn't work, get out the stick. Whatever works, you know. And just like Prabhupada in training us, you know, he would glorify us. Can you imagine how much Prabhupada would glorify us sometimes? He told us we were all simply wonderful. Can you imagine? You're all simply wonderful. But sometimes he would chastise very heavily also. Demon. So you do whatever works. Whatever helps you to stay enlivened in Krishna consciousness, do that according to time, place, and circumstance. Next.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So,
here we go.
Here we see that sequence of verses talking about extracting things from the earth, mentality to extract from the earth, and then use another highly elevated person to do, say they are using Kapila Dev earlier, was Prahlad Maharaj, they are getting things out from the earth. So this mentality of getting something from somebody, especially who is very prominent, this kind of creeps into a spiritual, into devotional life also. We tend to use someone else's superior position to get something from them. Rather than serve them, how do we get out of that?
Well, sometimes taking things from them and engaging in Krishna service is serving them. It's like we go on a book distribution, we're trying to induce them to give some of their money. That actually liberates them. The money is being engaged in Krishna service. So to utilize, actually our agenda is to utilize the every single asset of Australia, America, Russia, etc., and engage it all in Krishna's service. We're very greedy to get all of these resources and engage him in Lord Chaitanya's movement. And that's not selfishness. That's our duty. Because actually everything belongs to Krishna, and these people are utilizing these things outside of the service of Krishna, causing themselves to go to hell. So we can induce them to give this, to give at least something for Krishna's service. It's not for us. We're happy just sleeping, you know, living very simply. We don't need any, you know, extravagant lifestyle. We can live very simply and be very happy, chanting Hare Krishna, taking prasadam. We're totally happy, you see. But these people, they have all this opulence, and they're using it to go to hell. So our duty is to somehow induce them to take these things they're using for sense gratification and utilize them all in the service of Guru and Gauranga and Krishna. So this is our duty. It's not selfishness. If we take for our sense gratification, yes, that's sinful. But to encourage them to give in Krishna's service, that's very good. Just like I have disciples, you see. And I'm taking their energy, engaging in the Krishna service. Not for my service, but ultimately. Not really for my service. They're thinking they're serving me, but I'm simply engaging them in the service of Krishna, service of Prabhupada. So we, for ourselves, not near mama, nothing is mine. But bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshvaram suhridam sarvabhuktanam kyatvamam shamsamritstati. One who knows me, Krishna says, as the supreme enjoyer, supreme owner, and the best friend of all living entities, he can have total perfect peace. So we want to engage the whole world in understanding who everything actually belongs to, who is the actual enjoyer of everything, and who is the best friend. This is our loving service to them, to engage their resources in the service of Krishna. That's it. Next. Now we have one that came in from the internet, from Europe. Coming in from Europe, we have a question. Okay. At places like school, where we can't chant loudly at those times, if we chant the mantra in our mind, we'll have the same effect. Yeah, in a situation you're sitting in a classroom in the school, you can't sit there and go Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Yeah.
So you meditate on Krishna. My dear Krishna, here I am in the school, learning something. Please bless me. I can utilize what I'm learning here today in your service. And this way you can remember Krishna and pray to him that you could utilize this particular situation in his service. It's like our children, they're going to schools. So they go to school and pray like that within their mind. Here I am, my Lord, I'm in the school, I'm learning this and that. With all these karmis, or I'm using it for all sense gratification. But please bless me, my Lord, that when I'm here in the school, I can think, let me utilize what I'm learning in your service. So there's always a way to connect with Krishna in any situation. Because Krishna is there, he's within your heart. He can hear your prayers, even if they're just in your mind. You don't have to say them out loud. Even the prayers going on in your mind, you can hear them very clearly. So you just have to always make that mood of begging Krishna, begging Krishna, begging Krishna for his blessings, that you can be fully and purely absorbed in his service, whether you're at school, at work, in the commute, at the temple, hearing the lecture, or going out for preaching work, whatever you're doing, always beg that, my dear Lord, let me now be totally and purely absorbed in serving you and give you complete total satisfaction with my every thought, word, and deed in every circumstance. And if you always keep this mood, always begging, begging, begging for pure devotional service, Krishna will reciprocate with you and you will have that this much desired awakening in the heart. You will go through all the stages of bhakti. You'll have faith in the process. You'll associate with devotees. You'll get initiated. You'll work very hard to get all that dirt cleaned out of the heart. And you'll become a fixed up devotee, relishing the mellows of pure devotional service within your heart. It's all there. It's available. What the great sages achieved in days of yore, you can achieve it right here and right now. You can have all mystic experiences of Krishna right here in Melbourne. Just like a sage in the ancient days in India can have, you can have the same thing right here, right now. It's just a matter of developing that mood of pure devotional service. Very intensely, very dedicatedly, and very focusedly, always in that mood. And then we have the perfect prayer for that. What is that prayer?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
One of our students named James has written, which version of Srila Prabhupada's books are the best? The original or the revised books? It's one of the controversies. So we'll talk about that. Prabhupada's original books are wonderful. They made thousands of devotees. But the early editors were early editors. Even they engaged a karmi in the editing work. A boy named Neil was engaged in transcribing the tapes back in New York in the early in the 60s. And he didn't know anything about the philosophy. So there's some big errors, like Pitriloka, it was called the planet of the trees. Pitriloka. He didn't realize the Sanskrit word Pitri, he thought it was the tree loka. The planet of the trees. There's a lot of mistakes in the early editions. Another one is cow protection. Gauraksha was called cattle raising, which is what they do in Texas for slaughter. Here you do it in Australia too. So, and Prabhupada noted these mistakes, you see. And Prabhupada wanted them corrected. So to say it's wrong to revise the books is no, Prabhupada did want the mistakes to be corrected. So the original books were great. And the revised books are also great. Now, if you'd like to compare the two to see why they actually changed it, why, you know, you can do that. You can go through point by point and see, well, yeah, that was kind of dumb to call Pitriloka the planet of the trees. So actually, we should call it what he probably actually said on the dictation tape. You see? Since the manuscript, what was in the book, didn't match what Prabhupada had dictated on the tape, there was mistakes made. So the original books are glorious, and the revised books are glorious. They're all glorious. You can read either edition and go back to Godhead. That's the answer, James. I have both of them in my database, so I can always compare. I just you know, from the scholarly viewpoint. Those who have a scholarly nature can have both versions and do comparisons. Some devotees have a scholarly aptitude, so they can do that. I've kept both editions. In the database, they upgraded it and got rid of the old original edition, but I kept the old edition so I can always compare it because I have a little bit of a scholarly nature. So one can do that. If you're a scholarly nature, you can compare and see how they improved it in the revised version. Any other questions? Yes.
Devotee association is stressed a lot, but what's the right way of seeking devotee association? Is it like calling them for lunch and having a chat?
Can you repeat the question?
Devotee association is stressed a lot. What is the...
Devotee association does what?
Is given a lot of emphasis.
It's given a lot of... It's stressed and emphasized, yes.
So what is the correct mode of associating? Should we call them for prasadam or... What else?
Yeah. Sadhu Sangha is very much stressed. It's the first step on the path of bhakti is that faith in the process. Second step is Sadhu Sangha associated with devotees. And Krishna also emphasizes it in the Adi Purana. Yeme bhakta jana parta, no me bhakta stite janaha. My dear Arjuna, one who is my devotee, dame bhaktas. He is not my devotee, but the devotee of my devotee is my devotee. It's not you can invite the whole temple or prasadam every day, but you should always be in the mood of loving and embellishing the devotee's association. Even when you're not with them, carry them in your heart. It's like I have many god brothers who are now departed, no longer even present, but I meditate on them and love them in my heart. Feel love and affection. It's like my Vishnu Jan Swami who made me a devotee. I have his photograph. I just relish thinking about him. Or my former GBC, Tamal Krishna Goswami, who departed many years ago. I remember these great personalities who inspired me and blessed me in so many ways. So even if you can't associate physically, but in your heart, you always keep that association going. That's my style. I always keep it. Even if I had some disagreements, sometimes there was, you know, there's conflicts and disagreements, but those things are not very important. The most important thing is how they help us to be Krishna conscious. Sometimes in any group there's sometimes naturally going to be some conflicts or tensions or disagreements. It's a natural thing. But we don't take it very seriously. The most important thing is we're all here trying to love Krishna, trying to serve Prabhupada, and we can learn from each other and benefit from each other's association. It's a wonderful thing. Originally, the movement was only about 10 or 15 people. Can you imagine? The whole movement was a lot smaller than this group in this room. The whole movement, the beginning. Devotees were amazed. How could Swamiji call it the International Society for Krishna Consciousness? It's some little tiny storefront in Manhattan with about, you know, 10 or 15 hippies sitting there. But Prabhupada had this vision. This worldwide society, it happened. So now we have the benefit of an association of thousands and thousands and thousands of devotees. We have to learn how to appreciate them. We have to look out for those, and we have sometimes neophytes who like to criticize and find faults. We have to be careful not to be polluted by these neophytes who haven't been trained properly, haven't learned properly yet. That one should always be in a worshipful mood towards all Vaishnavas. All Vaishnavas. What does Prabhu mean? Master. And the women are also Prabhus. We are all Prabhus here. These are my masters. So the master is to be always worshipped and glorified. Those who criticize the devotees, they are not in the proper mood. But be very careful about those who criticize the devotees. You should not mix intimately with such persons.
Yeah.
we preach to them, but we should not mix intimately with persons who are always finding fault with devotees. We should gravitate towards those who actually love the devotees, who respect the devotees, who admire the devotees. That's the association that will help us to get out of the cycle of growth and death. Because Krishna says, only the devotee of my devotee and my devotee. So if you're not devoted to devotees, you're in a very dangerous position. You can't go back to Godhead unless you're devoted to the devotees. Other question? Saw another hand somewhere. We have time for one more question. Let's see. Okay, here we go. From India. Does begging mood also help to control our mind? Absolutely. This is Leela Manjari Devi Dasi from India, my disciple. The begging mood is, where is that? Prabhupada signed his name the most insignificant beggar. If Prabhupada is a beggar, what is our position? You see? So they always be in that begging mood. Begging, 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 begging. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. I'm begging Radharani, I'm begging Krishna, please, please, please engage me in serving you. I've been serving these rascal senses for millions and billions of lifetimes, and where has it got me? Another damn rotting body. So now, my dear Lord, please, I beg you, let me, my only desire be to please you and serve you. That my every thought, word, and deed in every situation, let it be totally, completely pleasing to you. In that mood, we're begging, begging, begging for their blessings. So in this way, you become perfect. And now one last question, no more. We only go down to like the last minute. Bhargavi, why can't I wholeheartedly beg for pure bhakti? How can I correct it? Yeah, that's a fact. Here we are mixed, you know. I want Krishna consciousness, but I still want sense gratification. What am I supposed to do? You know, I'm going between two worlds. I want sense gratification. I want Krishna. And it's like, what to do, you know? How can I beg wholeheartedly for bhakti when I still want sense gratification? So you can just, from your position, honestly pray, that's all. My dear Lord, I'm a fallen soul. I want devotional service, but I am also wanting sense gratification. My dear Lord, please help me out of this mixed position and let me come to the mood of my only one devotional services. You don't have to make up some prayer. Just pray honestly from your heart, wherever you're at. Pray from wherever you're at. Is it? Just from whatever your position, pray from that position, honestly. And that will capture Krishna. Try it, it works. So we'll stop here, and we thank you all very, very much for tuning in to the Srimad Bhagavatam. Gantarab Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai Gura Premanandi.